And the word Hosanna is kind of a interesting word that I've been over the couple last couple of years trying to kind of wrap my mind around. But I think maybe this year we can understand that cry of Hosanna maybe better than ever before. Hosanna means Lord, save us. It's a combination of kind of a praise, but it also a cry for salvation. Lord, save us. And I'm seeing more and more pictures of people down on their knees around the world praying for God's mercy, praying for God to help us, praying prayers like Jake prayed this morning for an end to the plague, an end to the sickness, for God's mercy. In Matthew 20, we read that Jesus was going up into Jerusalem, and it says that on the way, he took the 12 aside and said to them, "We're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and to the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. And on the third day, he will be raised to life." We see that in these verses, right before the verses of that we read on Palm Sunday, Jesus tells his disciples exactly what's going to happen. He lays out the whole plan. He lays out the bad news and the good news. He tells them, "We're going to Jerusalem. We're going to where they're threatening my life, our lives. I will be turned over," Jesus said, "to the authorities. Said I will be mocked and I will be flogged and I will be crucified. But the good news is that on the third day, I will rise." And then we find in the next chapter that story of Palm Sunday. And the story of Palm Sunday is a story that fulfills all the prophecies in the Old Testament. It's a story in which Jesus is hailed as the king that he is, a story in which the people he has come to save ask him for salvation and praise his name. Let me read the story from Matthew 21 to you. As they approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." We know that by the end of the same week, those same crowds that shouted for salvation, those same crowds that shouted in praise, "Hosanna, save us, praise your name, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest heaven," also that crowd had reversed their chant to call for Jesus' crucifixion. So when we cry out to God for salvation from the coronavirus or from the utter confusion of our world, we cry out to God for salvation for those who are suffering. We cry out to God for salvation from the things that we feel are, we believe are uncomfortable and unjust. And we cry out to God, a mighty God, to free us and save us. Like the crowd, sometimes we don't always understand God's path to salvation. Even though Jesus told his disciples exactly what was going to happen, the crowds didn't know God's plan. They only saw what a hope for salvation. And what we see sometimes is that God doesn't always fix things the way that we think he should. And sometimes because of that, we lose faith and turn away. Sometimes we get angry at God and walk away. When we pray for salvation, when we cry out for help, when we call out Hosanna, God save us. When we say and praise God's name and say Hosanna to God in the highest, we mix our hope in God with our desire to honor him. Then we have to stop and wait to see what God is going to do. We have to wait and see how God is going to save us. This week, I had a moment in the kitchen here where I just felt so tired. I was tired of trying to be creative, tired of thinking up new ideas, tired of helping, tired of trying to fix other people's needs and help them find what they need. Tired of doing the same things every day, laundry, cooking. And just a moment, right? We're just like, oh, I'm so tired. And I said to God, I'm tired. I'm tired of leading. And almost immediately, it's like God didn't want me to sit there in that space too long. Almost immediately said, still small voice said, follow me. And I think for me, that was the reminder, right, that we are meant to be followers of Jesus Christ. We are meant to call out to God, Hosanna, save us. We are meant then to wait for God to do whatever it is that he is going to do in our lives. And it's not always the way that we think it is going to be. And it doesn't depend on us to fix things. It doesn't depend on us to solve problems. It depends on God. It depends on God's power and God's love and God's grace. Lamentations 3 says that the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. There's a song by Paul, and I'm not sure I'm saying his name correctly, and Baloche or Baloche. It says, praise is rising. Eyes are turning to you. We turn to you. Hope is stirring. Hearts are yearning for you. We long for you. When we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us. You are worthy of all of our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna, come, have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Hear the sounds of hearts returning to you. We turn to you. In your kingdom, broken lives are made new. You make us new. Because when we see you, we find strength to face the day. And in your presence, all of our fears are washed away. Isaiah 30, 15 says, this is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel says. In repentance and rest is your salvation, and in quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. In this passage, he's talking about Israel. He's talking about Israel's unwillingness to wait and repent and rest in the Lord so that God could do the work in them. But our salvation is in waiting on the Lord. Our salvation is resting on God. Our strength is in quietness and trust. And so just like the crowds in Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday long ago, we're not very good at waiting for God to work his purposes out. And just like the people that are praying all over the world, We have to continue to cry, save us, Lord. Only you, Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, can save us. We wait on you. So this week, when you feel tired and discouraged this week, when you feel like you've had enough, remember that the call of Jesus is to follow Jesus. The call of God is to wait on him, trust in him. We don't see the big picture, but we can trust God for each and every day. So this week, as we go through the Holy Week in a very strange and different way, I just want to invite you to read through the scriptures of the Holy Week. From Palm Sunday to the resurrection, God's plan was worked out for the salvation of everyone. And I just want to remind you that on Tuesday, we will meet for prayer at 7 o'clock. And then on Friday, we will meet for our Good Friday service. I have some scriptures that I would like us to read together on Friday night. So I might reach out to you and ask you if you're willing to read a scripture. Mm-hmm. On Sunday morning, if you wish, you can go to the church and walk the prayer walk that Sandra has taken time to print, to come up with and print out this week. I'm inviting you to come anytime between sunrise, which I already checked the weather forecast, and it doesn't look like we'll have too much of a sunrise. It's going to be pretty cloudy. But anytime from sunrise to 9 o'clock, come and walk the path and pray if you are able, interested, willing. If you see other people there, just greet them from afar, shout across to them the traditional greeting on Easter morning, Christ is risen, or he is risen. He is risen indeed. And please just continue to care for each other by not resisting the desire, right, to get up close on people. But I planned on going on Easter morning. I was reminded a couple times now that the first Easter morning was not held in a church, mm-hmm. right? The first Easter morning, people didn't dress up and go to be together and sing beautiful hymns together. The first Easter morning was a couple women coming to the tomb in despair because their Savior had been crucified. First Easter morning was maybe a lot more the way we're going to experience it this time, with people kind of separated, right, and in despair, hiding in their homes. The disciples were hiding in their homes, afraid what would happen to them on Easter morning. Mm-hmm. And so if you can, think about, even though you're sad that we can't be together, right, kind of lean into this unique situation that we're in this year, and seek that joy, right, of knowing that Christ is risen from the dead, and that in his resurrection we have salvation, that our Hosanna is answered through the resurrection, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I also want to encourage you to this week to continue to care for yourself. It's helped a lot for me to have the gratefulness journal that I made a few months ago with the group of women at Wellspring that Kim had organized an activity. Continue to spend time with God and continue to think about the things that you are grateful for these days. gratefulness is a path to joy, right? A path to peace. And so spend time with God, spend time being grateful, spend time calling each other, and get outside, move around, get some exercise, move your body, and care for yourselves. This is a unique and difficult time, but God has given us really everything that we need. So just encourage you to don't be discouraged, but to remember that God is with us. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. I think that Sandra has a final word. Maybe we have a final song today.